This is a Suno India production and you're listening to Cyber Democracy. The Ministry of Road Transport and Highways recently notified all national highway toll plazas to dedicate all lanes except one cashless lanes using FASTag. The ministry is effectively making FASTag mandatory from December 1st of 2019. FASTag is India's version of electronic toll system being implemented using the ISO standard equivalent for RFID-based toll collection. All new vehicles in the country since 2018 have been sold with FASTags installed at the time of registration. To discuss the impact and design of FASTag in this episode of Cyber Democracy, we have Srikant Lakshmanan. He runs a consumer collective called Cashless Consumer, focusing on cashless payments.
Hi, Shinos. Thanks for having me here.
So, Srikant, as we are discussing about FASTag, I really want to understand why are we implementing it? Like, does FASTag actually solve our tolling problem? Does it actually make our tolls better? Does it reduce its traffic? How is FASTag helping us?
So, the idea of FASTag is to enable seamless pass-through of vehicles through the toll gates. So today we are using cash-based toll systems. So as against which, if all the vehicles were to have RFID-based FASTags, they can seamlessly pass through the toll systems. But would this notification mandating all vehicles to use FASTags, or effectively making all lanes except one as FASTag lanes, would this improve the congestion scenario? Remains to be seen. There are multiple implementation challenges, and there being a new system that is being pushed into, there will always be initial glitches, so it needs to be seen whether this will solve the toll queue problems.
To effectively put it, it's an experiment.
Not quite, because we've already been having this FASTag for about 2 to 3 years now. Ever since demonetization, there's been an increased push on FASTag, including all vehicles registering from 2018 having the FASTag mandatory. So they have been already FASTags. But the problem till now has been that only one lane in all the toll plazas have been marked as FASTag lanes. And more often than not, vehicles do not having FASTags enter these lanes, causing congestion, defeating the purpose of a seamless pass-through. So what this notification has done is effectively made all lanes FASTag, which in effect makes FASTag mandatory for all highway users, and making an attempt to do a full seamless implementation of this FASTag.
Since you're saying it's been there for a while, how did this come up? When did the exercise start? How long has it been?
So the history of electronic tolling in India goes back to 2009, when there was a Ministry of Road Transport and Highways asked a committee under Nandan Nilekani to submit a report on electronic tolling. This is obviously to increase efficiency of tolling because the toll collections manually incur cash handling and cost of cash. So this committee gave its report somewhere in 2010, and subsequently there have been ministerial deliberations on how to implement electronic tolling. And with the recent push towards cashless payments, this has gained mileage now, and now we are at a phase where it is being made mandatory.
So who is implementing this? We know that Nandan Nilekani submitted a report. Is it being done by private players? Because Nandan himself is a private person, he was never with the government. He had a brief stint at the UIDAI, but effectively, he had no relationship with the Ministry of Road Transport. So is it the ministry which is implementing, or the banks? Why is this complicated nature of public-private entity relationships while implementing these projects?
So to understand this, we need to understand how our road transport system and highway system works. So NHAI is the nodal agency monitoring all the national highways. So they are the agency, apex agency of the country, managing all the toll projects. And individual concessionaires, who are the toll operators, then actually collect...
Like
the
GMR?
Yes, let's say any private toll company, any highway company will be collecting the toll from the users and then reporting that back to the NHAI and sharing their revenue as per the predetermined agreements, whether in some cases the concessionaires collect and take the income and give, in some cases, they give a portion back to the NHAI. And it depends on the commercial agreement on how the highway was built. Currently, the FASTag system is being implemented by a series of entities. So NHAI has a company, a special purpose vehicle floated called Indian Highways Management Company Limited, which manages all these toll infrastructures. And they, in association with the banks and the National Payments Corporation of India, which handles all the retail payments in the country, have come together to form this system called FASTag, wherein users can buy these tags and load their wallets or link it with their bank accounts, so that when they pass through, the payments are being made and the payments are routed through the corresponding concessionaires, and it is also reported back to, say, NHAI.
Apart from seamless movement of traffic and effective reporting by companies which are building roads, it looks like FASTag was also meant to cut down fraud and detect fraud if any money is being routed by these companies and not being reported to NHAI. What are the advantages that one can see with FASTag, and are there any other disadvantages that one can see, considering that these companies have known to do fraud?
The toll collection problem has actually multiple issues in the sense there is firstly a free pass problem, wherein, you know, the driver knows the toll operator and the toll operator gives a free pass without collecting the toll. So this results in that toll company not getting the proper revenue. The second layer of the problem is the toll company not reporting the actual toll collected data properly to NHAI. And there is no way to monitor and audit this because all of these are cash-based payments. And it's very hard for anyone to actually keep track. And what this has also led to is to snowballing multiple levels of frauds, which includes even highway companies making NPAs to the banks on their loan accounts. So there has been a series of incidents or frauds of varying nature, right from the smallest incident of people not paying tolls or Gundagiris not paying tolls to the point that the highway company is not reporting the revenues properly to banks or to the NHAI. So this electronic tolling would, in some sense, aims to kind of mitigate that fraud.
So what we have seen is that road companies have been declared NPAs, few of them. And what we are seeing that is banks which gave money to these road companies, which have these non-performing assets, are entering the FASTag space and are actually collecting all the tolls. So are we seeing a further privatization of roads, which were at some level privatized when road companies started building it or operating it? What is the business plan that the banks are doing? Are they trying to recover all the investments they made in this, or are they trying to further profit?
So there are multiple aims to the FASTag program. So in one sense, this can be seen as a pure cashless payment system that has been built by the banks or enabled by the banks, which is also a profitable or a revenue-making tool, just like, say, how banks give debit cards, credit cards, or your process your mobile payments. There is always a transaction charge that goes against the merchant, right? So similarly, even in this case, when the toll is getting collected, the banks will, of course, charge a transaction charge. So this is part of their payments business. So the payments business of the bank will earn revenue from this. But the additional interest here for the banks here is that they will also get to know the data that passes through these tolls, in the sense that they will now know how much of traffic is flowing through each of these tolls, and they could then use that data for multiple reasons.
To compare what's happening with FASTag in India to other countries, like in the US, in Singapore, where they are doing cashless payments for road tolling, we see that there are no barricades, right? It's on the go. You just pass through and there are no barricades. In India, what we are seeing is there are barricades. You see that when your car comes up to the FASTag lane, if it doesn't get detected, it's creating traffic for the rest of the vehicles, like the car which probably doesn't have FASTag. Are we going to see, with this mandatory nature of FASTags for everyone, the barricades being removed away?
Not any time soon, because there will always be initial glitches, and there will be people without having FASTag. They'll be installing FASTag and then recharging. And even the cash in, cash out of how do you recharge a FASTag needs to be made fully available across, so that they can still recharge even when they are on the highway. And not everybody is still, say, like mobile or tech savvy or have internet banking and so on and so forth. So the tolls will continue. And we also need to know that the tolling system has come into place in our country in like last 2 decades. And we've just started our electronic tolling projects, in the sense even the FASTag has been there for 2 to 3 years. And only when we move to 100% electronic tolling, there can be a chance that you can have toll without gates. And there are probably a pilot in Delhi or somewhere where they are attempting to have an automatic tolling on the highway itself. So you just need to pass through the highway and it'll capture the toll without any gates. But till such time when we have like 100% electronic tolling, the tolls are not going to go away. And remember, even with this notification, the option to pay with cash still exists. So you can always still use the last lane of any highway and still pay by cash. And FASTag is still technically not mandatory, although practically it may make sense for you to have a FASTag so that you don't get stuck up in traffic.
Some of the potential use cases that I see for FASTag in urban environment is specifically to reduce traffic, right? To actually discourage people to use cars by adding, say, extra congestion pricing, which is what some countries like Singapore is doing, and they encourage people to shift to buses. Say, if we have a complete automated tolling system where we can charge people for being on the roads in car at a particular time, like especially these congestion hours, I see that this can help bring certain changes, especially in urban environments. But do you think this will be used for that case? Or to do this, does everybody's FASTag account needs to be linked to a bank account so that they automatically deduct this price?
So I think on using FASTag for alternative use cases other than, say, tolling would take some time. And although there are some exploration on that regard on how to use FASTag for petrol pumps and even for parking in cities. But those will have to take some time, and it'll also have to go through some amount of technology tests to actually bring it on road. But that is something that this technology can potentially offer. But being at an initial stage where we are just moving into this new era of electronic tolling, I think the first priority would be to have all the tolling systems working properly and FASTag stabilizing for the purpose it was built, that is the electronic tolling, before adding more use cases.
Since you mentioned the challenges involved in setting up something like this across the country and effectively maintaining it, I remember a couple of MPs questioning the Minister for Road Transport, Mr. Nitin Gadkari, on how it's becoming a challenge to operate the tolls. I think Mr. Gadkari made a couple of statements that he's going to effectively implement it or reissue the tenders to a complete different agency, for example, to ensure it happens smoothly. Do we see that happening anytime soon? I mean, do you anticipate issues at scale? Because when things happen mandatorily in this country, you've always seen a lot of troubles for the common man. So from a consumer point of view, for a normal passenger who is traveling on these roads, what all issues do you think may come up?
Primarily from the tolling perspective, not everybody would be having their tags recharged, and they would still find it tough to pass through if their tag is not recharged, and they would also need to find a way to recharge those tags. Even though there has been a push on digital payments and, you know, say UPI and other sort of things, the average Indian doesn't use all those things. The highway users include, say, the truck drivers and all sorts of people from wide spectrum of social economic backgrounds. Do they have access to smartphones? Do they have access to mobile or internet banking? Do they have enough digital literacy to perform these transactions? They would still need some sort of assisted cash-based recharged solution. So this kind of infrastructure has to come up, and how they effectively come up in this place will determine whether there are glitches. This notification, which effectively makes all lanes FASTag lanes, will initially cause some trouble, is my guess, because there'll be awareness issues which the users need to be told. I mean, even though we are discussing about this now, there is still a large part of this country which might not even know about this. There's a huge awareness issue, and how do you deal with operational problems? So, like, there are also problems with the FASTag, the existing system, where, you know, people have been double charged, people have been not charged, their tags have not been recognized, so then somebody has to come up and manually clear the toll. So all these kinds of initial glitches, and when it's done on a country scale, there will of course be a lot of these initial glitches. It remains to be seen how these are handled.
So it's increasingly clear that most of these systems will only function if you have internet banking, mobile banking, or if you're basically networked, in effect. And this also makes it look like that the banks will get all of your transactions details. So does this imply that my bank will know where all I'm traveling to? And does this also mean, say, if I'm an economic offender like Mr. Malia, does this mean that the bank can track my travel?
Well, technically, yes. Although the provisions related to tracking and, say, law enforcement, they need to sync up with some kind of law. Because when there is also a question around this surveillance and tracking, and minister said we're not building this for tracking. But theoretically and technically, it is possible to, say, track a particular vehicle.
Not as a primary use case, but you think that as a secondary use case, this could be definitely used by the policing entities?
It would probably, in effect, it would. We will never know about this because, say, the laws about surveillance and monitoring in this country are not out there, and anything that happens is extrajudicial or unlawful.
If you look at on the bright side, FASTag is actually a monitoring mechanism for government to enable seamless travel. But at the same time, can this be used to identify the type of vehicles that are passing through our highways so that we understand and plan our highways better? For example, in part of road designing, you need to know how many heavy vehicles are moving, how many light vehicles are moving, because when road companies lay the road, they need to know this traffic volumes and projected volumes to do this. So in terms of monitoring goods, in terms of actual planning, which is actually the ministry's job to ensure that roads are designed the right way, does FASTag help there? Is data going to the ministry in terms of who is using our roads?
We need to understand what sort of data is already collected, what sort of data will be newly collected with FASTag, and then who owns all these data, who gets access to all these data. So this will give us answer to your question. So to the first part as to what data is already collected. So in terms of planning and the categories of vehicles and the volume of traffic and all these things, I think the existing tolling systems already have, because you still pay the toll by the class of vehicle that you travel, and all these toll companies, they do have some sort of system wherein they audit and they provide the reports as to what their traffic was, what their revenue was made, and so on and so forth. So from a traffic and planning perspective, I think that data is already there with the existing system. But what FASTag does additionally or in a different manner is, previously all this data was actually lying in disparate silos, let's say against each toll plaza or each concessionaire. Or each highway company at best. And it was not probably available in a single database. But with FASTag, what has happened is all this data is actually centrally accessible at one place. And because by the nature of system, because you could have a FASTag of, say, from a particular bank, whereas you are passing through a highway which is being operated with a FASTag reader of a different particular bank. This is an example, like, say, how you can have your debit card with one particular bank and you can go to any merchant who has a POS machine and can swipe, and he can receive that money in his bank account, right? So the same system works here as to, like, you have FASTag from any of the banks, and then you could pass through any of the highway which has the FASTag enabled, right? And in this process, the data is then now being centralized. And what happens is all this data will now be centrally available. So you can actually have, say, the entire country's data in a single database. Now, the next question is, who actually owns this database? Although the FASTag has been made mandatory by the government, the operational control of this data infrastructure remains with IHMCL and also with, say, the NPCI, National Payments Corporation of India. They get this access to this huge database, which will have, say, all these traffic patterns and who went where, when, which vehicle traveled, and so on and so forth. So this, in one sense, that gives a potential rise to the surveillance risk, in the sense that these databases can be tapped into, see which vehicle traveled where and when, and so on and so forth.
Clearly, there are multiple companies and institutions which are involved, which are being built across the country as information utilities. If you look at, say, Aadhaar, which has all Indians' identities data, FASTag will now have all vehicles' locations data in the country. And you have GST, which is one more information utility, which has the goods information. And if you read the economic survey of 2019, the economic survey talks about using this data to actually help propel growth in the country, right? You would share this data with private companies, or you'd link all these databases to build a larger database. So I understand the potential for good use, but I also see potential for misuse. In doing all of this, and by making it mandatory, we see that the government's kind of going overboard, right? How are they doing all of this?
So first thing is, this is being made mandatory to increase toll collection. So we also discuss fraud, right? So in the sense, this FASTag will minimize fraud and will make these payments efficient. But what they also do is they collect all this data. And this data is then used to assess what kind of traffic each highway has at a central level. We probably need to also step back and need to know how our highways have been built. Traditionally, our highways have been built by the government, and until our economy opened up, when we first started having these public-private partnerships through national highways development program, so we had this golden quadrilateral, and then we had a series of private partnership highways being built. Those were being built by private developers using build, operate, transfer. So they get to build these highways and then toll these highways and for a certain amount of time. And then when the toll agreement ends, they get to transfer these highways to government. But then the government would still potentially keep tolling these highways in order to do some maintenance on these highways, right? We also had our own infrastructure financing crisis. So we had this ILFS scam, for instance. ILFS was into also building highways, right? These multiple companies which were not able to finish their projects, and that also caused a kind of slowdown in building highways. So what the government has now done is to also not just look for private investment to build these highways, but also maybe monetize its existing assets to raise revenue and then use that revenue to build new highways. There is also a 2016 Cabinet Committee of Economic Affairs notification which said we are now going to monetize our highways, and the first set of highways have been already monetized. So what this means is these highways which are either being publicly funded and built, or that have already been tolled for enough number of time and then transferred to government, are now being kind of given away to private entities to toll those highways. And those entities would then have to pay government an upfront fee for a tolling license for 30 years. So they would actually now invest a bulk amount, and then they get these toll revenues for the next 30 years. This is one economic policy decision that the government has taken to monetize our highways. And this data on what the highway traffic is and what the potential revenues could be would all be very useful in, say, the context of, say, monetizing or even valuing your highway assets. Because at the end of the day, this monetization happens through a bidding program, and private foreign institutional investors bid for these highways. And this data could be potentially very useful. And this is where the question comes as to what is the operational control of this entity and this data. Now, if this data lies with, say, certain private companies or SPVs, which are not directly under the government of India, there could possibly multiple conflicts of interest in accessing this data and making use of this data. At a very large scale, this is a very useful information.
So technically, you're saying FASTag is an information highway.
Yes, it tries to actually generate data out of the physical highway. And you make and aggregate it at a very centralized manner. So you have a centralized single tolling system which aggregates all the data across the country, so which will generate, say, a new value. I mean, this is also being talked about in the economic survey as to valuing or making use of data or monetizing data in aggregate. So the government now gets to use this data in ways different. We've already seen government making use of vehicle registration data, the driver's license data, and so on and so forth. But this data is of far more strategic importance because it also deals with our real assets, our real highway assets, as to which company gets to build the highway or which company gets to toll that highway will all be decided in one way or the other through this data.
With all of these things happening simultaneously, clearly there is a need for a data protection law, which is being introduced in the parliament in this winter session. But at the same time, I want to understand how FASTag would be placed under this law. Like, clearly, the data will be regulated by this data protection law. But under what law, again, is the government regulating FASTag? Are our MPs questioning this aspect? What is the general interest in the parliament about this program?
There are again two parts to it. So one is the data protection bill is actually only personal data protection bill, right? So it doesn't deal with non-personal data. Now, how do you classify a vehicle's data, whether it's the owner's personal data or it's a community data, or how do you classify that piece of data? So that will actually give answer to, should we see this through the data protection bill lens or not? There's also another consultation by METI on community data and so on. So that will also give answers to that question. The second question was on?
What law is the Ministry of Road Transport using it to regulate FASTag?
From a legal standpoint, I think Ministry of Highways notifies tolling on highways. So even though you, say, have a free right to movement across the country, even when the tolling, manual tolling was introduced, one could argue that my right to free movement is inhibited by these tolls, right? But the Ministry of Highways, through their existing powers, have actually mandated tolling in these highways. So even though you can say you have a right to free movement, that's not applicable across the toll roads. You have to pay the toll and go. Similarly, that's what have now been extended to FASTag. The only difference being that is now the ministry is actually emphasizing that the toll payments have to be made mandatorily by digitally or through this particular FASTag. And to the role of parliament, it's interesting because all these have been through notifications of the ministry, notifications under the rules and regulations. Some of this have been through NHAI and the payment system itself, even though it was operational from 2016 onwards, the RBI actually approved the payment system only as late as February 2019. But it is still not getting the attention of parliament because our parliamentarians have not been questioning about this or looking through the various aspects of this problem. In the US also, they had these electronic tolling. But the only difference in the US was they actually had multiple toll systems. If one has to pass through, say, from state A to state B, they need to maybe have tags of multiple private players. So it's like today, if you visit multiple cities, you need to have multiple metro cards. There's no single card that is out there, although the NCMC tries to do that. So similarly, in the US, you need to have multiple tags. And the US also, there was a question of why should we have so many tags in our cars? Why can't we have a single tag and get with interoperability? There was actually a Senate hearing that lasted for 4 hours, which debated on this issue and with the industry and with all the toll tag providers and tolling system industry to actually see if there are concerns on privacy, what would be the cost and what should it be and so on and so forth. Whereas our parliament has not been that vocal on the issue. I mean, in fact, the one question that I remember that was raised on this issue was MPs asking for free FASTag for their cars, as a result of which they have now been given 3 FASTag passes, which are like valid across the country for their personal use. So all the MPs now get a free FASTag. But the underlying issues and the role of data, the economics of this has not actually been debated in the parliament.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to know actually that the 3 FASTags that MP get as one for a car in Delhi, one for a car in the state capital, one for a car in his constituency. So he gets 3 for those reasons. But at the same time, it's interesting to note that these FASTags, which are free for MPs, VIPs essentially, do not work on all highways. Which brings me to my final question. I think we have covered a wide range of issues on FASTags, from infrastructure to the surveillance and privacy-related issues. Do you have anything else that you want to say about FASTag?
One might think, what is the big deal about this FASTag and why can't we just have it? But to see the economic policy and the direction through which data is handled at multiple levels for multiple policy decisions. So it's not just about the convenience of you passing through a toll. It's also about how highways have been built and what role of the data is about in all this. And there is also a general sense that we can use that data for progress. And this has also been said in multiple instances, including, say, Aadhaar, where the role of data is being used as saying we leverage the data and make economic progress from that. It's in one sense highly questionable because we don't know whether having this data or making every system data-fied will automatically lead to economic progress. The thinking that somehow all this data will naturally mean that we'll probably make better economic progress, whereas one needs to see like what and who gets to make economic progress, because the institutions handling this data are not run by the government. They're only strategically controlled by government. There are issues in related to privacy, but not limited to privacy, but also the economic policy making. And in some sense, not everything can be achieved through data.
Thank you, Srikanth. Thank you for explaining us all of this. Thank you for listening to the episode of Cyber Democracy. You can listen to this podcast on sonoindia.in or any other podcast app of your choice. As independent producers, we rely on you, our listeners, to support us. So please visit the support page on our website, sonoindia.in, and contribute generously.